The water crisis in Flint continues. There are many communities around the state that can be considered food deserts, including portions of Ypsilanti. Children in urban centers have higher rates of respiratory ailments because of lower air quality. Education funding is an issue, and nowhere is it more evident than in nearby Detroit. These are considered eco-justice issues, and that's the focus of this week's Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and coming up in 8 days, Eastern Michigan University will host the 5th Annual Eco-Justice and Activism Conference. This year it's called Reclaiming the Commons. Our guest this morning is Dr. Rebecca Martisevich, and Rebecca is a professor of eco-justice education in the Department of Teacher Education at EMU. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And so right off the bat, let's just start here. How do you define eco-justice?
Well, eco-justice education is a field of study that begins from the idea that social and ecological well-being are not separate. They are completely intertwined with each other. We begin from a recognition that social and ecological well-being depend on the importance of democracy, diversity, and sustainability. And that the problems that we're experiencing, both ecological and social, so when I'm talking about ecological problems, I'm referring to water pollution, air pollution, the loss of topsoil, climate change, and so on. Then when I'm talking about social problems, I'm talking about racism, sexism, poverty, impoverished communities. And we basically look at the way those problems are intertwined and that the ways that they rest on deep cultural ideas that rationalize harms within both human and more than human communities.
Now, there's an argument to be made. We all have a role in creating these inequities and a responsibility to help solve them, but that's true at the government level, too. When you look at some of the inequities, are these issues more of local government, state government, or federal government created, or are they a combination of all three?
I would say that it's a combination of all three to the degree that people's abilities to make decisions about the health of their communities is being undermined at all of those levels. And I would say also they're intertwined to the degree that our very cultural system is resting on beliefs that rationalize the idea that some groups of people are superior to other groups of people, and that all people are superior to the ecological systems. So what that means is that it rationalized the idea that there are some people who are better at making decisions than others. And that's a fundamentally anti-democratic idea. So to the degree that all those three levels of government are operating on those assumptions to some degree, they're all contributing to the problem.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Dr. Rebecca Martisevich. Rebecca is a professor of eco-justice education in the Department of Teacher Education at EMU. EMU, by the way, will host the 5th Annual Eco-Justice and Activism Conference from March 17th through the 19th, and this year it's called Reclaiming the Commons. Now, there's probably no greater example of eco-justice issues than the Flint water crisis. So much has been discussed of how it happened, why it happened. Too little is being done in quick enough fashion. From your vantage point, what are we missing in the discussion that should perhaps be tackled head on?
Oh, boy, this is complicated. Well, I mean, I think the idea that it's more efficient to privatize our access to the sorts of things that all living creatures need to live, water, air, food, increase the possibility that the kinds of mistakes and tragedy that happened in Flint happen. I think the idea that saving money in Flint was more important than really paying attention to what was going on in terms of their water is at the heart of this, and the idea that some people are more qualified to make those kinds of choices and decisions is also at the heart of this. So there's some deep assumptions about who the people in Flint are, for example, that are contributing to the ways these problems got rationalized and the outcomes, the tragic outcomes.
Our conversation with Dr. Rebecca Martisevich continues on Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on WEMU. Rebecca is a professor of eco-justice education in the Department of Teacher Education at EMU. And let's talk a little bit about food. You just mentioned that access to food is one of the issues that we have to contend with, and a lot of us don't think about that here in the state of Michigan, but it's happening as close as in Ypsilanti, where there is lack of access to healthy food. What are the impacts of that, and what creates that environment?
In communities where there's a large population of impoverished people, what happens, and Detroit is like the canary in the coal mine for this, what happens is that chain grocery stores, for example,
they won't go where they can't make money.
Exactly. And they're not going to stay where they can't make money, right? So people have to travel much further distances to get to a grocery store. In Detroit, the bus system is horrible, so that the public transportation system is not adequate. People don't all have cars. So getting to healthy food sources is difficult if we consider that the healthy food sources include grocery stores. So fast food restaurants, party stores become sources of food unless the local people network together and decide to take that on as an issue. And in Ypsilanti, Growing Hope is a great example of an organization that decided to really try to organize people to grow their own healthy food. Detroit also, the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network, is another fantastic example of people taking control of what we would call their food commons. In other words, the land and soil and access to water and so on needed to grow healthy food. So I would say the food security is an issue, is a matter of people having access in one way or another to healthy, culturally relevant, appropriate food.
In all of these instances, there is a financial cost to getting these problems addressed. It's easy to identify them, much harder to solve them.
Yeah.
And when we talk about cost, it's probably exorbitant. Where can the money come from?
Well, I mean, if you just, I mean, taking, going back to the food issue, I mean, in Detroit, it relied, taking control of food sovereignty and food security, for example, relied even more on people's labor, people's love, people's decision to come together and work, right? So they found land. D-Town Farm is located on about 7 acres. They leased it from the city for very low, and they began to cultivate the land. So, yeah, it does cost money, but and sometimes that means getting grants. I think in Growing Hope's case, they did a really good job raising money. They organized people in the community through donations and so on. So there's a way for people to come together, both financially and just in terms of sweat equity, to take care of some of these kinds of issues. So it is. In our economy,
and that would be considered a very small but good start. We're talking about programs that need to be expansive across the region, across the state, and ultimately the country.
Yeah, and I mean, and in terms of food, that's certainly happening. You know, and water requires a good municipal system with, you know, and people in those communities willing to put their taxes toward it, for example, right? So, I mean, yeah, I do think it means people having to come together and decide what they're going to invest in.
You just said the magic word.
For the well-being of their communities.
The magic word being taxes. Now, the Michigan presidential primary was held last night, and the campaigns now move closer to the conventions and ultimately the November general election. Have you heard any of the candidates, in your opinion, adequately address these issues?
Yes.
And we will note that this is a personal opinion.
Yes, of course. I think Bernie Sanders is right on the money about this. I mean, I really believe that there is such a huge difference in the money being sort of sucked up into the top 10%. And over the last 30 years, we've seen this like just happen enormously, right? The inequity between where the money is going and just normal communities is huge. So I believe that he's right, that we have to, you know, start pressing the top 10% to pay their fair share.
I thank you so much for your time, and we will most certainly look forward to the conference.
Okay, thanks so much, David.
That is Dr. Rebecca Martasevich. Rebecca is a professor of eco-justice education in the Department of Teacher Education at EMU. Eastern Michigan is going to host the 5th Annual Eco-Justice and Activism Conference from March 17th through the 19th on campus. I'm David Fair. You've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and it's heard each Wednesday as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.